Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning, and I'm glad to be here in the house of God. Maybe we could have testimony meeting first today. How many of you spoke to someone about the Lord this week? Anybody? I'd like to hear about it. Jim, can you stand up and tell us about it? Okay, thank you for that. Very good. Anyone else? Last couple of weeks. Amy, you're smiling. Did you? Can you tell us about it? Yeah. Okay. Very good. Very good. Anyone else? Very good. Very good. Anyone else? Okay. I appreciate those testimonies to the world. Let's go to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. Isaiah was a prophet, and he was connected to God, and he wrote very many precious words in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah 62 is certainly one of them. And I'd like to read the first five verses for a text this morning. For Zion's sake, will I not hold my peace? And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until thy righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. For thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy hand any more be termed desolate, thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, and the Lord delighteth in thee, for thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. I ask you this morning, and I ask myself this morning, do I do that? What is Zion? I want to look at Zion. What is Zion? And we need to understand what Zion is. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. It's for Zion's sake that I witness to those that I'm in, meet on the beach or on vacation. It is for Zion's sake that we testify to those that come into our shops and our farms. Zion throughout Scripture is the gospel. Gospel dwells, God dwells where we place the gospel. I will not hold my peace, and I will not rest. I was thinking of this in relation to our call to go to the prison and our need to increase our Sunday school participation, Sunday school lesson participation, and even in the vote that we have about coming up about displaced families. Do we really want Zion to succeed? And we want Zion to go forward. And is it something that is our passion? You know, when we're so prone to apathy and indifference. I am. We're prone to, apathy is so much part of our life that we have a lack of interest or concern or a lack of feeling for those around us. And we're indifferent. We have no desire to be a means of change and so forth to our people. But let's go over the text a little. I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness therefore go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof is a lamp that burneth, a lamp in the darkness that is held up to the world around, and they can see the lamp and the salvation that is in Zion. And the Gentiles, verse 2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. We want the people of Salem and Latonia and Mahoning County and Columbiana County and the state of Ohio and the state of Pennsylvania and the state of Michigan to come to see the righteousness that is ours in Zion. And so today I want you to get it. The idea of this message, the emphasis of this message is to get excited about the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and to display a fervency and a meaningful engagement with the community. And I don't know how else we do that unless we do it here in church. We enter into the Sunday school discussion and we think about the scriptures, and I don't know how else it's done unless we get some practice on Sunday morning if we're going to meet the needs of those people around us. When we go to the Walmart and we go to the Home Depot and we go to the various places that our community interacts with. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. It gives a picture of, you know, hey, did you hear about Zion? You go up to someone and, did you hear about Zion? You hear about the gospel? And did you, for Jerusalem's sake, I think that's the same meaning. Zion and Jerusalem is the same here almost. I will not rest. That Leo Cooley was a man that lived in this area. He was Bill Cooley's dad, and I went to his funeral. It was out at the Wesleyan Methodist Church, and the preacher there, he said that Leo's business was serving the Lord, and he had greenhouses to help him serve the Lord. That's how he financed his serving the Lord, and I thought that was really something, really kind of exciting. I have 3 points to the message this morning, three very, very simple points. Number one, I believe in Zion. I believe in Zion. I just really believe in Zion. We cannot be passionate about Zion unless we have experienced what Zion is. What is Zion? It's where God dwells. He gives us a new name, our text says. And in Revelation 3, verse 12, it says that he gives us a new name. And today we are new. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus with a new name. Acts 11, 26 talks about the new name that we have, and it's that name Christian. And it's we must believe in Zion. And to be passionate about Zion unless we have experienced what Zion is. Now let's go to Hebrews 12, and we're going to read verse 22 and following in Hebrews. Hebrews 12. And here's what we Christians are, these sublime realities that are ours. It's an amazing fact that we have this amazing Zion to support, and we're part of it. Hebrews 12:22 says, we are come unto Mount Zion. That's we Christians. And into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Here's Zion. This is what Zion's all about. We are in the city of the living God, where God is. And the Bible says many things about the living God, but it does say one thing: it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We are part of God's kingdom. We are part of God's city, where God is. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He gives life. And then we come to the heavenly Jerusalem. We're part of the heavenly Jerusalem that is part of Zion today and is going to, according to these verses, is going to go right up into heaven and be there, the unchanged kingdom. Oh, today, that's exciting, isn't it? That the people that's sitting beside you this morning, they're going to go right along with you up to glory. And you're going to be in that heavenly kingdom, heavenly Jerusalem. Then look, innumerable company of angels. Today, I believe there are angels around you. The Bible says that you wear the covering because of the angels. And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I do feel that it's something to do with protection. There's angels around you to an innumerable company of angels for the Christian, that God sees you're in trouble and he sends an angel to help you out. There's an innumerable company of angels. That's what you come to. That's Mount Zion. That's Zion. It's wonderful. Reality that angels are around you. You don't see them, but the Bible says they are there. That's one of the reasons why we women wear the veiling, the covering, is because of the angels. Then we come to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. My dear people, church is not just a group of people gathered together with like interests. The church is a group of people that is of the firstborn, that are born again. They're changed from the inside out. The heart is different. The actions are different. We're the General Assembly. The Zion is for Zion's sake, for the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Today, the church is filled with people. And there are people that make mistakes, and there are people that are not perfect in our estimation. But God has redeemed this assembly and calls it the Church of the Firstborn. And you know what? The most exciting thing is this. That your names are written in heaven. What a privilege. What excitement. That your names is in a book of life. That's amazing. That people can take people like Joe Weaver and Glenn Erzberger and write our name in the book of life. And judgment day comes when the judge of all the earth, the God, the judge of all, he'll judge according to Romans 2, that he will judge according to truth. According to truth about your life. He sees everything. He sees everything that you do. And he's going to judge you according to life, according to truth. Are you ready? Are you ready? To the spirits of just men made perfect. You know, there's a whole doctrine taught in the New Testament, and it's the justification by faith. Friends, it's an amazing thing that he takes an old sinner that has a lot of problems in his life, and he likes to look at lustful things, and he likes to satisfy himself. And he likes to be first, and he doesn't like other people. He hates other people. But God takes those kind of people, and he justifies them. And it's only through faith, and he makes us perfect. According to Ephesians 4:23, he makes us perfectly holy. Isn't that exciting? That's Mount Zion. He can take we who are so plagued by this sinful nature in the world, and he makes us perfect. The spirits, our spirit is made perfect. We are changed where he looks at us as holy people. And today, that's Zion. That's exciting. That's the message you have to offer the person at Walmart, and the message you have to offer the person at the sale barn, and the message you have to offer on the street, and the message you have to offer in the prison, is that God can take you and change you by faith and make you perfect. The next one is Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. I'm so thankful that Jesus is the mediator for me. I have a problem with sin in my life. And he's the mediator of the new covenant. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Have you thanked God recently for your advocate? When you sin, and we all do, according to the scriptures, he lays his hand on your shoulder, so to speak, and convicts you through the Holy Spirit. And he lays his other hand on the shoulder of God and said, God, will you wait till Joe confesses his sin? That's an amazing, amazing thing. He is a mediator. Of the New Covenant, the New Testament. What a privilege we have to live in the New Testament age, the New Covenant age. We have Jesus Christ, who is the mediator, and when we sin, we can get right with God again. We don't have to go to the kill a lamb. We don't have to do anything. We just say, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. That's very exciting to me. Because I realize that I'm so prone to sin. To the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You know, when Abel was killed by Cain, it says in Genesis 4:10, that thy brother's blood crieth out to me from the ground. Abel's blood, like all of our blood, it speaks of fear, of condemnation. Ephesians 2 said hopelessness. We have this to offer the people on the street. They know they're condemned. They're fearful of what's coming. And they're hopeless. And we can offer them eternal life, confidence, and assurance, and hope. Shouldn't we get busy? Oh, dear ones, Jesus' blood speaketh better things than that of Abel. Not of fear, not of condemnation, not of hopelessness, but it speaks of eternal life, confidence, and assurance. It gives hope and victory. And we have this to offer the world. We have this to offer the people around us. Why don't we get busy? For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake will I not rest. We must believe in Zion. Point number two, I believe in the cause of Zion. Let's go back to Isaiah and go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 in first three verses. I guess we'll just focus on that. This is Jesus, the prophecy of Jesus, and these are the words Jesus spoke when he started his ministry. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give of them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. What else? I ask you bluntly, what other social program that you ever heard of can do all that? Our government is full of social programs, the huge expense. But the program that you and I have in Zion, for Zion, is that we have the gospel that can bind up the brokenhearted. We can proclaim liberty to the captives, and we can open the prison to those that are bound. We heard a sermon the other Sunday about bondage. And we today have all this and more. We can give unto into the world beauty for ashes. Their wrecked lives, their drug-filled, smoke-filled lungs. We can offer them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. The question is today, is your Mennonite life a culture, or is it a commitment to the principles of Zion? Sometimes we're seen as a culture, and I suppose a little of that's okay. But more than that, we ought to be seen as the program of God. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. To Isaiah, Zion was not just an add-on in his life, but Zion was the consuming passion of his life. Listen tonight, today. Zion has a solution to the world's problems. It has the answer to sin. It has the answer to the search for meaning in life. It has a cure for depression. It has a cure for all the broken relationships in the world. It has for the cure for poverty, homelessness, and violence, and a whole bunch more. I believe in the cause of Zion. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, and we could read a lot of that, but we're just going to focus on verse 34 and a few verses following that. I believe in the cause of Zion, and these Old Testament saints, this is what they did. Zion was dear to them. Zion was their passion. And they quenched the violence of fire. They went to the stake. They were burnt. And they gave their hearts to Zion. It's still happening. North Korea today, in 2024, they're burning places of worship to the ground with the people, with the Christians in them. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. And all those. And verse 36. And others had cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Took a rock to the head. They were sawn asunder. I believe that was Isaiah himself. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Now let's jump down to Hebrews 12, in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Our example was Jesus Christ and the Old Testament saints in giving ourselves to Zion. Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. One of my favorite Anabaptist was Michael Sattler. And I've probably given this illustration or this account of his death many times. But Michael Sattler was drugged through the streets with hot tongs. Imagine that. He was still testifying of Jesus, so they cut out his tongue. And best as he could, he was still testifying of Jesus, so they took him to the stake, tied him to the stake, and he was still testifying of Jesus. Lit the fire and burnt Michael Sattler. He died for the sake of Zion. And he would not hold his peace. Zion, my dear friends, is for those who are caught in the prison of sin, the prison of alcohol, the prison of drugs, the prison of lying, the prison of spiritual adultery, the prison of hatred and mistrust, the prison of contempt for others, the prison of unforgiveness, that's huge, the prison of violence, affluence, and living the American dream. Zion has an answer for all those problems. We have an exciting gospel today, but why don't I care? Why don't I care? I want to look at apathy for a little bit, apathy and indifference. Thirdly, this is the third part of the message. Why don't I care? Why have I lost my passion for the sake of Zion? Why don't I care? Number one, apathy is gradual and many times undetected. The Bible is clearful. I punched it in the computer this morning and I looked at all the take heeds that are in the Bible. And there's hundreds of take heeds. Take heed. It comes on gradually, many times undetected. It's full. Our life is full of distractions. It says things like this in 1 Corinthians 10. It says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It says things like this. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Take heed. Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Also, as another word that's used very often, it's beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, Colossians 2:8 says. All the thinking patterns, I would say that's the most dangerous today. The thinking patterns we are exposed to. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. It's gradual. Number two. Apathy and indifference sets in when we lose the excitement of our sins forgiven. Have you ever come to the place? I ask you sincerely this morning, and I want you to evaluate your life in your heart. Have you ever come to the place in your life where you have actually been excited about the sins that you have committed, that they have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you excited about that? Don't let that ever get old. Don't ever get indifferent to the excitement of sins forgiven. And the fact that we can live when the mediator, Jesus Christ, takes our present sins and forgives them also. David said in Psalm 51, he pled for forgiveness. And he said these words, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall speak aloud of thy righteousness. This old problem with sin keeps plaguing us humans. And don't expect to be excited about Zion if you have sin in your life. Number three, apathy sets in when we place Zion as one more thing to do. We live in this world and we have the world to satisfy and have our business to satisfy and we have our, you know, all the things our pleasure needs to satisfy. When we put the Zion, the kingdom of God, in that list, we'll never love Zion. Zion is the only thing that we should love. Everything else has to become subservient to Zion. For Zion's sake, I will not rest. You have a choice to make every morning, dear ones, whether you're going to serve the Lord or whether you're going to serve Zion or whether you're going to serve this world. In Revelation, it says about the church at Ephesus that they had left their first love, and God had a problem with that. God had a problem with that. They lost the first love. Apathy sets in when our worship becomes a performance. When it becomes a performance, when it doesn't flow out of a heart of love for God, it becomes a performance. It becomes something you do on Sunday morning. Apathy sets in when our worship becomes a performance rather than a complete heart expression. Apathy sets in when we listen to podcasts and sermons and music from unknown sources. Get it straight. If it's not Zion's music or Zion's preaching, you're going to grow cold. Podcasts and sermons and music are... there's a myriad of sermons and music that we can tie into and we can listen. It can be almost good enough, but it is not the music of Zion. One of the problems with apathy that creates a lot of apathy in our churches is inconsistent living. Matthew 24 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace." The last one I have is, others in Zion will do it. Why am I apathetic? Well, this fellow beside me in the church can do it so much better, and he's good at it. Let him do it. In Matthew 25... we all know the story of the man that got 5 talents, the one that got 2 talents. They went out and reinvested and worked for the kingdom. And they came back and God told them, "Good and faithful servant, I've given you I'll bless you for it. Well, we remember the story of a man that had just got one talent and he buried it. He said, I wanted to keep it. I didn't want it to get away. And God said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not straw. And he said these awful words. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's awful. What was the man guilty of? He was guilty of playing it safe. He was guilty of risking nothing. He was guilty of investing nothing. He was guilty of burying his treasure and sitting on the top of it and sitting still. This is a sin of indifference and apathy in full display. Dear ones, this morning, at the judgment day, there's going to be people there that have sat on their talent. Yeah, they kind of lived like Christians, but they didn't proclaim Zion, and they did not work for God, work for Zion without rest. Dear ones, today, can we say, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake will I not rest, until the righteousness therefore go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth in a dark night. Picture the lamp going up and down Washington Street out here, showing people the way.